Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. You wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John in chapter number 21. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 21. We are finishing up our series of the shepherd and the sheep, which is the theme of this year. And as we've gone through this theme and trying to introduce this, that we know that throughout the Word of God, that God uses the idea of shepherd and lamb and sheep to describe His relationship to us. And that we understood that God is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. Then we also took time to explain that God pictures Jesus Christ as the lamb. And that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who came to take away our sins. And that the Old Testament pictures Jesus as the Lamb. The New Testament declares Jesus as the Lamb. And now we're moved into a section talking about the under-shepherd. That Jesus Christ has prepared under shepherds to care for His flock. That is, Jesus Christ has ascended up to heaven. He is not bodily with us, but He has His Holy Spirit guiding us. That He also uses human instruments to shepherd His flock. That Jesus is the chief shepherd. That underneath Him is an under shepherd that physically is there to help move the flock, guide the flock, and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, we come to a place where Jesus Christ is dealing with Peter and preparing him as Jesus Christ is going to ascend to heaven, that He is placing Peter in charge as the under-shepherd to this newly formed church of Jerusalem, the newly formed church of disciples who had been following after Christ. And let's take some time to see as Jesus Christ is working with Peter to help prepare him for the task that God has for him. If you don't mind, turn your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John in chapter 21. Notice with me starting at verse number 1. The Gospel record of John 21, verse 1, the Bible says this. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the sea at Tiberias, and on this wise He showed Himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came into a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals thereon, the fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went and drew the net to a land full of great fishes, 153, for they had, for all there were so many that it yet the net was sorry yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and the fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto you, that when thou were young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest wherever thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned upon his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, that hath saith unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I would that he would tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went around to saying abroad the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he should not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple that testifieth of these things, which wrote of these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there also are many things which Jesus did, the which that if they were to be written every one, I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a question that Jesus Christ asked Simon Peter three different times? Notice, if you don't mind, the first time he said in John chapter 21 and verse 15, Lovest thou me? Once again in verse 16, the same phrase is repeated, Lovest thou me? And then once again we see it in verse number 17, Lovest thou me? And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was getting across to Peter on, Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. Thank you that you're a God that we can trust and depend upon. Thank you, a God who loved us first, and that we can love you because you first loved us. Thank you that you loved us so much that you died on Calvary's tree. And thank you so much that you've given us your word that we can learn more about you. I'm asking that this would strengthen people today in a special way, that you would do something amazing in our lives, and that you would help us to make a choice to follow after Jesus Christ. Again, I have no power in myself. I have no ability. I have no words. I have no skill. I have no intellect that can get across what you need to get across today. This is only something your Holy Spirit can do, so the best I know how, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit. And that once again, you would do something wonderful and get your work accomplished through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus asked the question to Simon Peter, Lovest thou me? If you don't mind, I'd like to take those three questions that he asked. And as Jesus Christ is teaching this lesson, I'd like to break them apart as Jesus Christ is trying to teach Simon Peter things with it, with the question. The very first thing I'd like to show you is, if you love me, forsake your fish. If you love me, forsake your fish. Now, the context is that Jesus Christ has gone to the cross of Calvary already. He's already waited the 3 days and then he rose to live forevermore. And the Bible says that this is the third appearance of Jesus Christ since he rose from the grave. That Jesus didn't stay with them, but he would appear to them, talk with them, and then leave and then come back. And this is the third account, the third occurrence of Jesus Christ coming back to visit the disciples. And it just so happens that Simon Peter is still trying to get over his defeats and his failures of the last several days. If you remember that Jesus Christ had told his disciples that he was going to the cross of Calvary, and Peter, being as proud as he usually is, he said, "I'll never be offended, and I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll even die if that what happens." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Guess what? Before the night is over, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three different times." And wouldn't you know it, this man who once told Jesus, looked at him straight in his face and meant it with all of his heart, "I'll die following you," he ran away. And he denied that he even knew the Lord by people warming themselves by a fire. So much so that when one little lady came up and said, "That's him, he's a disciple," to prove that he wasn't, he cursed. Because he knew that that type of language isn't used by a Christian. And then when he denied him the third time, Jesus looked at him. Could you imagine that look? To fail Jesus three times and Jesus look at you, and you know you messed up. Have you ever got to the place where you just know you bombed it? And that feeling, that pit, and you know that you just... How do you recover from that? What do you do? And this wasn't just a little boo-boo. He denied Jesus Christ. This was a major failure. Well, praise the Lord that Jesus did not stay dead, but on the third day he rose again. And when Jesus rose again, he sent an angel to go say, "Hey, you tell Peter that he's alive. You'd encourage him." Well, Peter did get to see the Lord, but Peter is not fixed yet. You know what's been weighing on his shoulders? His failure. "I failed God. I messed up. I denied God. How can God use me after all that I've done?" And you know, to be honest, there's a lot of Christians who struggle with that. That they have a past. Maybe they did some things before they came to know the Lord, and that past hangs over them. Maybe it's since they've been a Christian that they've messed up. Maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's a big bit, but whatever it is, it hangs over them. It's like a rock on them. It's a weight. It's a burden. And all they think about is, "I failed the Lord. I messed up. I messed up. How can I get past this?" And Peter has it hanging on him. And like anything else that hangs on you, he thinks about it and thinks about it. And you know, thinking about it sometimes doesn't make it better. It makes it a lot worse because you roll it over and roll it over. And so you know what Peter did? He did something to make it worse, and usually that's what we do. That we fail God, we mess up really bad, and as a reaction, we mess up again. Just because we're so concerned with ourselves and we're so much in the flesh that we mess up again. And we compound it, and we watch that this is where Jesus, or that Peter is at. He's compounding his problem. Notice with me in the Gospel record of John chapter 21. The Gospel record of John chapter 21. And notice with me starting again at verse 1. "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias." The Sea of Tiberias is another name for the Sea of Galilee. So if that helps you with your map, that they have left Judea, they've gone past Samaria, and they've gone back to Galilee. If you remember, in Galilee, this is where the disciples are from. This is where Peter and Andrew, his brother, had a fishing business. This is where James and John, the sons of Zebedee, had a fishing business. This is where the other disciples were from. And so after Jesus Christ died, was nailed to the cross, he came to them and said, "Hey guys, I'm just letting you know that I'm alive." They go back up to Galilee. They go back home. Instead of going where Jesus told them to do, they go back home. Notice as this problem now compounds even more. Notice in verse 2, all the people that's with him. They're together with Simon Peter, that's one. Thomas called Didymus, that's two. And Nathanael of Cana, that's three. And the sons of Zebedee, so James and John, and two other disciples, that's seven together. So there's seven disciples together. And they're following after Peter. I mean, Peter's the leader. So they're following after Peter. They go back home. And notice what Peter says to them in verse number 3. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now, there's nothing wrong with fishing. Everyone needs recreation. Everyone needs to have a break. Everyone needs a vacation from time to time. But when Peter says, I go a fishing, he's not saying I need a break to get things wrapped around. He's not saying that I just need to get out in the open waters and clear my head. When he says I go a fishing, what he's saying is, I'm going back to my old job. What he is saying is, I'm quitting to follow Jesus. I quit the ministry. I quit being a preacher. I'm going back home. I'm starting my job back over. He says, I quit. I quit. I can't handle it no more. How can God use me? I failed him. You were there. I failed him. I'm quitting the ministry. I can't do it no more. I'm going back to my old job. And when he does this, because of the influence of when people quit, guess what happens to other people? They quit too. Notice with me in verse 3. And Simon Peter said unto him, I go a fishing. And they say, we go also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So Peter said, hey guys, we've been together for 3.5 years. I quit. And they said, hey, you know, let's join together. You have James and John who had a business before that they walked away with. You had Andrew and Peter who had a job. The other disciples, they probably followed and said, hey, you know what? We know each other. Let's start a fishing business together. I mean, we know each other. We trust each other. They all quit together. You had 7 preachers who quit in one day. Because Peter is still feeling sorry for himself. Because he can't get over his past. Because he looks at his past and says, I've messed up so bad. How can I go forward? How can I go on? And he's letting his past keep him from his future. And he quits. Have you ever felt like quitting? Have you ever felt like you messed up so much that you just, why even bother? Well, this is exactly what Jesus is working with Peter. He's trying to fix him. But they quit and they go fishing. And what makes it worse is that they're out. These are professional fishermen. These aren't hobby fishermen. These aren't amateur people. These aren't people who just grab a stick and try. These are professional fishermen. And they go out to the Sea of Galilee where they fished all of their life, running a business. To be a business, you got to be able to catch fish from time to time. They ran a business. They're professional fishermen. And they spent all night and caught nothing. How discouraging is that? That this is my life's work. I've been a fisherman all of my life and I can't catch anything. I know where the fishing spots are. You know, God has a wonderful way of doing this. That he makes it that you can't succeed in the things you used to do in the past when you try to walk away from them. He makes it so it doesn't work out. Why? Well, he's working with Peter. He's trying to do something in his life. Notice as he goes on, verse number 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So in the morning, the sun starts to break. They said, oh man, what a bust tonight. This didn't work out. And they start going to shore and they see someone on the other shore. And they see him just standing, looking at him. They can't tell that it's Jesus Christ. Notice with me in verse number 5. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? Hey, guys, did you catch anything? Hey, how'd it go last night? And notice what they say. They answered him, no. Catch anything? No. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. So here's this guy on the side of the shore. They don't know it's Jesus saying, hey, put it on the other side and you'll catch all you want. Who's this guy to tell us what to do? Well, they put it over on the other side. Now watch what happens. In verse number 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So what they do is they put the nets on the right side, and they catch all these things, and it's so much fish that they can't actually lift it up on the boat. It's so heavy. Now, there's 7 guys, and these aren't like little weak little guys. These are professional fishermen. That's a rough, tumble job. They're big old guys, and they can't lift the fish over onto the boat. Now, someone figures it out, verse 7. Therefore, that disciple that Jesus loved, by the way, that's John. Now, remember, this is the gospel record of John. John's trying to not to bring attention to say, hey, that was me. But he's part of the story, so this is how he's identifying himself. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord. So you could see them struggling and pick it up, and John elbows Peter. Hey, I think it's Jesus. Peter looks up, drops his part of the net, looking out. It is. It's him. Notice what Peter does. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Let me pause here. Don't let this throw you off. In the Bible describes nakedness that any time the thigh is exposed. So you can wear shorts, and if it goes up, you are considered naked according to the Bible definition. So he's not totally nude, but he's carrying the idea that because he's fishing and he's out there with the guys, that he he still is modest or still covered, but he's considered naked because his thighs showed. So put on his coat. Man, I'm going to go see Jesus. Notice what he does. And he cast himself into the sea. So here they are. The rest of the disciples are picking up the fish, and it's so heavy we can't lift it up. And John elbows, I think it's Jesus. And the biggest, burliest of them all, the guy who's stronger than everyone else, says, see you guys later, jumps in the boat, leaves them all behind, and swims to shore. Man, that's Jesus. I'm going to go see him. Now, again, he's been so brokenhearted. He's been so weighted down because of his failure. And there's Jesus. I got to go see him. I got to go take care of them. Forget the rest of this other stuff. And he took off, left everyone else there. Now they're even struggling harder to try to get the fish in. Notice, if you don't mind, verse number 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. So now you can see the other guys trying to row, the other guys just holding onto the net so the fish don't fall away. And they finally make it to shore. Verse number 9. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals and the fish laid up and bread. Jesus didn't need to go fishing. He already had it available. And he already had breakfast cooked for them. It's already set up. They're ready to go. Verse number 10. And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. So Peter gets to shore. He's swimming. The other guys row the boat. They get there. They see the coals. And Jesus says, hey, go get the fish. So Peter turns around. And just Peter by himself. Verse 11. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish. 153. For they were all many, and the net was not broken. So Peter turns around and says, all right, fine, Jesus wants him. He goes, grabs the net by himself, picks it up and hauls it. Now, this is pretty amazing because there's 153 fish. If we were to say, just for calculation sake, that when you get out to the middle of the Sea of Galilee, there are bigger fish. Let's just say numbers sake, that the average fish was about 4 pounds. 153 fish, this is over 600 pounds that he just went, all right, Jesus wants the fish, just picked it up. Rest of the disciples, they're trying to haul it in. Peter just picks it up, says, let's go, guys. Now, again, I'm just trying to say, Peter was a pretty big guy. He wasn't a little wimp. He was pretty big. This was his job. He's pretty stout. And he picks up the fish, trawls them up, and the fish net wasn't broken. Now notice with me in verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and dine. Come and get it, guys. They fished all night. They're probably hungry. Jesus has already got things cooked, already prepared for them. All they have to do was come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord. So they come up. This is the third time Jesus appeared to them, and no one's saying anything to Jesus. They know who it is. They're just kind of waiting to see what Jesus is going to say. No one's asking him, so how's your day? Or, I mean, what do you tell the risen Lord? How do you start the conversation? So, how's the scars? I mean, what do you tell him? What would you say? You probably do what they did and not say anything. We'll let Jesus speak first. And so they eat breakfast. They're all looking at Jesus. They have questions and stuff in their mind. And notice this in verse 13. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. So Jesus serves them. Verse number 14. And now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. And after this, he was risen from the dead. So that when they dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? Now we see here this these here. This is a pronoun that is taking the place of another noun. So what is these? Jesus said, do you love me more than these? What is he speaking about? What is he talking about? Well, the context of it, Jesus, that is that Peter quit. He quit the ministry and went back to fishing. He fished all night, dragged six other preachers with him. And it's talking about fishing. The next morning, Jesus said, put it in the other side. And they caught 153 fish. It was Peter who picked up the thing and brought the fish to them. Now Jesus has cooked the fish and has given to them. And he says, Simon Peter, love me more than these. What is he referring to? He's referring to the fish. He's referring to Peter's previous occupation. He's referring to the idea of Peter's backup plan. What was Peter's backup plan if the ministry didn't work? Go back to fishing. You know what Jesus is doing now? He's working in Peter's life and giving him this. Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than your past? Do you love me more than this other job? Do you love me more than this? What do I rate in your life? And what he's working for is this. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me with no backup plan. There is no plan B. That if this whole thing falls apart, you have nowhere else to go. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. You know what Peter tried to do? He quit the ministry, went back to his old job, and that didn't work out. He had nothing else to do. What else do you do if you can't do your old job? Where else do you go? You know, that's some of the problem that we have in American Christianity, is that people don't want to follow Christ. They want to have a backup plan. They want to get to the place where, you know, if church gets too boring, I could always go back to this. Well, you know, I got some other things to do with my time. Jesus wants us to get to the place where we're following him and there is no plan B. There is nothing else. If I don't follow after Christ, there's nothing else for me. It's following after him to make the decision. You understand, this is a conscious decision of moving forward. That when you quit the ministry, you quit teaching your Sunday school class, you stop following after the Lord, what is there left? There's nothing else to go to. That's the type of decision that God wants you to make, is all in. All in. All in. Do you love me enough to go all in? Now again, Jesus is looking at Peter eyeball to eyeball. He's right there. Do you love me enough to go all in? Do you love me enough that you're going to go all in? That was the question. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than fish? Again, the fish is Peter's hobby or previous occupation. There is no plan B. There's no backup plan. I want you to follow me completely and wholly. That if it doesn't work out, he wants you so far on the limb that if it breaks down, there's no safety net. That's where God works. People don't like working without a safety net. They don't like working without a backup plan or some contingency. But God wants you so far out on the limb that if it breaks, there's no stopping you. And you have to trust God, then God alone, to take care of you. Amen. You know, it's amazing what God's done. I've watched God working with preachers and take away their savings account so they can't even depend on their savings account. He's making you all in. Sometimes he takes away their health. So there's nothing else to do except what God's given them to do, because they're not healthy enough to do anything else. I've watched God do all kinds of things. And is God being a mean God? No. He's trying to make instruments that are used by him and totally devoted to him and him alone. That's what God's trying to do. He said, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than television? Do you love me more than your internet? You love me more than your phone? What's your backup plan? That if I got time, I'll either have the choice of Facebook or reading my Bible. I don't know. There's no plan B. Do you love me more than these? If you had the choice of taking your Bible away or your phone away, which one would you miss most? A lot of people would be their phone, to be honest. Well, you know, and how do I know that? Because they haven't read their Bible. They don't miss it. It's not a big deal. I don't have to be in my Bible. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me so supremely that there is no backup plan? There is no replacement for following after Christ, for that personal relationship, for being used of God. There is no backup plan. There's no idea that quitting because you say, I have nothing else to do. How can I quit following the Lord? Because what am I going to do afterwards? That's the place that he's bringing Peter. Of course, Peter is being groomed to be leading this group. And Jesus had to get him out of this failure. He had to get him out of this poochy lip disease. He had to get him past his place where he's just looking at himself and his past and his failures. And he's trying to say, you can't quit. You got to make a choice now. Do you follow me or do you not follow me? Do you follow me or you go back to your old business? Do you follow me or you go back to your home? What do you choose? Do you love me more than these? If you don't mind, let's go to a second thing that we see here. He said, first of all, if you love me, leave your fish. Then second of all, he says, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. Notice again in verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now notice the word love that is used. That we know that in different languages, they could have multiple words to try to describe something. In the English language, we have the word love. But in the Greek language, that the word love is actually two different words that is used in here. When Jesus said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? That word lovest is the Greek word agape. Now, I usually don't refer to the Greek, but in this sense, we have to understand what Jesus is saying here. The word agape is the word charity found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It carries the idea, a type of love that cost me something with no hope of return. It's a type of love that Jesus had for us. You know what Jesus did for us? He loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. How can we match that love? We can't die for Christ. We can't pay for Christ's sins. There's no way we could repay. There's nothing we can do on that scale. He loves us and we can never reward him. We can never pay him back. We cannot repay that love that he has towards us. And so Jesus says, Peter, do you agape love me? Do you love me with a cost to you? Do you love me the way that I love you? That's hard to answer. Jesus said, do you love me the way that I love you? How do you answer back with that? So Peter does his best and being honest, now he's broken. You asked him a couple of weeks before, hey, Peter, do you agape me? He says, you know what? I'll follow you wherever. I'll do anything. I'll die for you. Well, Peter's no longer the same Peter. He is broken now. Notice with me as he answers in verse 15. He saith unto him, so Peter saith unto Jesus, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter's word love is the word phileo, phileo. And it carries the idea of a responsive love. That it's a love that responds when someone loves you first. The response is phileo love. And he says, Lord, I love you because you love me. Because of what you did, I love you back. It's a responsive type love, but it is not the same equivalent. Jesus said, do you agape me? Do you love me supremely? Do you love me in a way that God loves you? And he says, I can't. I love you with a responsive love. I love you because you first loved me. I didn't love you first. You loved me first. It's a responsive love. And that's the honest thing. I can't love God the way that he loved me. He said, I'm doing the best. You know that I love you. You know that I phileo you. And he said this with a broken hearted. Now Jesus accepted the answer. And notice what he said in response to that. He, that's Jesus, saith unto him, Peter, feed my lambs. Jesus accepted the answer and pointed Peter away from the fishing business. He said, don't go fishing no more. I've got something else for you. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now notice Jesus asks this a second time in verse number 16. Jesus, he saith unto him, Peter, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now again, this word love is the idea of agape. Peter, once again, I'm going to ask you, do you love me like I love you? Now the first time is hard enough, But Jesus is looking in Peter's eyes, looking straight at him. How would you respond? Do you love me the way that I love you? How do you respond to that? After you just know a couple days ago he died on the cross. I mean, how are you going to respond? And once again, Peter said, Peter, saith unto him, Jesus, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Once again, he uses the word phileo. Now notice Jesus' response. He accepted it and said, okay, then if you love me, feed my sheep. Now the first time he said, feed my lambs. The second time he said, feed my sheep. The first use of the word feed carries the idea of feeding an animal. So you're making sure that they're fed. You make sure they have an animal. The second word feed, when he says feed my sheep, carries the idea of shepherding, that word that is used there. And so not only is he supposed to feed the sheep, the lambs, to take care of them, he's supposed to shepherd them, to protect them, to lead them the way that they're going. And so he's added to the charge. Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. Then you feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. You take care of my sheep. I'm giving you a job to do to take care of my sheep. Take care of my lambs. And I don't want you to think about quitting. I don't want you to worry about what you're going to do afterwards. I don't want you to think about all these other things. I have one job for you to do. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my lambs. That's what I've given you to do. You know what a comfort it is for sheep to know that their shepherd's not going to quit on them? He's not going to throw a fit and say, you know, I quit. I'm going home. It's not fair. Not to the place where people aren't treating him right. I quit. I don't want to go to this anymore. I can't handle it. I don't want to do this no more. And you know what? People do that. And I'm not trying to undermine that. There are people that do get hurt. And there are people that do quit. And the people that get frustrated. And the people that don't get their way. But Jesus, that's why he takes away the backup plan. I've heard many preachers said, if I had the ability to quit, I would have. If I had the ability to retire, I would have. But God, that's why a lot of preachers who are worth their salt are poor. Because God takes away backup plans. But he says, I got one job for you to do. I'll take care of you. You take care of my sheep. That's your job. You take care of my sheep. You take care of my lambs. You take care of them. I don't want you to worry about plan B. I don't want you to worry about contingency plan. You just take care of the one thing I've given you to do. You feed my sheep. You feed my lambs. You take care of them, you feed them, you shepherd them, you love them. That's the job I'm giving you to do. He added to Peter's charge. So once again, Peter is used twice, that phileo love. Now notice as Jesus asks him a question again. A third time he asked, and he, Jesus, saith unto him, Peter, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now the third time Jesus said, lovest thou me? Jesus now asks the word phileo instead of agape. Two times he says, do you love me the way that I love you? The last time he says, Peter, do you love me because I love you? That's a lot easier to say, yeah, I do love you because of that. Notice what he said in verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he asked him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, it's interesting that three times Jesus said, do you love me? Because how many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three times. He says, I know you messed up, Peter. I know you messed up, but guess what? You don't worry about the past. You start from where you are and you move forward. You think about my love for you and you move forward. So many times people let their past affect them and keep them from going forward. You can't do anything about yesterday. You don't have a time machine. You can't go back and erase the mistakes. You can't get rid of the consequences. The one thing you could do is start from where you are and move forward. But preacher, you don't know how bad you messed up my life. Did you mess up as bad as Peter? Probably not. Start from where you are and move forward. But preacher, you don't understand the things going on. I may not, but let me tell you, you start from where you are and you move forward. So many people get so stuck in the past that they can't move forward. They have the things, their hang-ups and their failures and their things, the things that they look at themselves and said, I can't move forward. God knows everything about you. He knows what you can do and he knows what you can't do. He just wants you to start from where you are and move forward. And that's what he's trying to get a hold of Peter. He didn't want Peter for the rest of his life hanging on the fact that he messed up so badly. He didn't want to hang up on the fact that just because he was having a bad day that he caused six other preachers to quit with him. He said, start from where you are and move forward. Move forward. I've got a job for you. No backup plan. Don't quit on me. You just keep going forward. Follow me. Follow me. So he starts off. He says, if you love me, he says, forsake the fish. If you love me, he said after that, he said, excuse me, he said, feed my sheep. So if you love me, forsake the fish. If you love me, feed my sheep. But there's one more thing that Jesus said in here, and that's, if you love me, follow me. If you love me, follow me. Notice what he says, if you don't mind, as we continue. In verse number 17, Jesus is asking the question, do you love me? And Peter said, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. But notice he continues on, verse number 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou stretchest forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and shall carry thee wherever thou wouldest not. Now he's given a prophecy to Peter. What is this talking about? Notice in verse 19, as the Bible defines itself. And this spake he, Jesus, signifying what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus asked Peter three times, eyeball to eyeball, do you love me? I can just imagine him just leaning over, just looking, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. He says, all right, then let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to die in a different way. And what's going to happen? Peter is going to be put to death at Rome. And they said they're going to crucify Peter up on the cross. Now Peter says, no, no, no. That's how Jesus died. I don't want to die like that. So they take him, put him on the cross, and then they put him upside down. And he dies on a cross upside down. And Jesus is telling him, guess what? You're going to die. I told you there's no backup plan. I'm letting you know, Peter, you're going to die following me. How do you respond to that? What does Jesus say? Hey, guess what? I'm going to let you know you're going to die. Wait, do you love me? Yes? Then you're going to die for me. Then notice what he said in verse 19. He spake this signify what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, follow me. He says, Peter, do you love me? Yes? Then you'll prove it by following me. Peter, do you love me? Yes. You're going to die for me. Follow me. Are you willing, knowing that you're going to die for the cause of Christ, are you still willing to follow him? If God could give you a glimpse of all the things you have to face, would you still be willing to follow him? If it means your health, are you still willing to follow Christ? Now again, some people are having a hard time trying to ride the fence. They've got torn britches because they're trying to get this side and this side. They're trying to follow after Christ and still enjoy this. They're following after Christ and they're not all in. Peter finally said, I'm all in. He says, all right, let's test it. If you love me, you will follow me. Even to your death. Are you still willing to follow me? Yes. Why? Because he loves him. Because Peter loves him. You're willing to follow me. Now notice, as it goes on, Peter, still having a little bit of flesh, he looks up to the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and he said, hey, what about this guy here? Verse number 21. Peter, seeing him, that said, Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? All right, you said I'm going to die. What about this guy? Notice, you know, and isn't that a human reaction? You said I'm going to die. Well, what about this guy? Notice what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto him, if, notice that word if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So here's this. Peter gets in the flesh a little bit, says, well, what about this guy? And Jesus said, what if I told you that he's not going to die at all? He said, what business is that as yours? It shouldn't matter what happens to someone else. Follow me regardless. Well, that guy's getting all the good stuff. So? Well, look at what happened to that guy. So? Is your eyes on the Lord or is your eyes on other people?
Amen.
That's the question. Who are you looking at? What does it matter if you don't get all the stuff that you think you should get? Is your goal Christ or is your goal on stuff? And he said, it is none of your business what happens to John. I told you what you've got to do. Peter still needed that, didn't he? It doesn't matter. It does not matter what happens to John's life. He says, if I told you that he would live forever, would that make you stop following me? If I told you that guy over there, he's going to get the nice house, and he's going to get the nice car, and he's going to go get the paycheck, is that going to stop you from following me if you don't get it? What does it matter? The problem is that we like to look at other people. It's not right. Look at what they got. I want this too. Keep your eyes on me, he said. Follow me. If you love me, follow me. You know, there's something about words and actions. It is very easy to say I love you. It is very different to prove that you love him. You know, I'm married and I'm happily married. But if I decided, you know, honey, I love you so much that I'm just going to adore you. Every day I'm just going to stare at you and I'm just going to soak you in. Oh, this is so wonderful. I mean, just after a couple of minutes, she'll get freaked out. But if I did that 24/7, she says, hey, don't you got a job to do? Don't you got something to do? Don't you got to do something to provide food on the table, go get groceries, mow the lawn, shovel it, do something? No, I'm not going to do anything for the rest of my life. I'm just going to adore you. Is that love?
No.
Absolutely not. Love always produces action. Because I love her, I'm going to go do the jobs I'm supposed to do. Because I love her, I'm going to fulfill my responsibilities. Because I love her, love produces action. There's so many Christians that said, oh, I love Jesus, but they don't show up to church when they have the ability to show up to church. Now, I understand providentially hindered, but there's sometimes people could make it to church and they should have made it to church. And then they say, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. When's the last time you read your Bible? I don't know. I mean, words are cheap. The follow through is, if you love me, follow me. Follow me. That's the proof that we love Jesus. That, you know, there are so many people who have darkened the door of a church and said, oh, I love Jesus. Well, the proof of it is following after him. And that's what Jesus is getting across to Peter. If you say you love me, you'll follow me. It doesn't matter what happens to John. It's none of your business. God is allowed to do whatever he wants to someone else. If he chooses to bless that person in a certain way, and he doesn't choose to bless you, does that make you say, well, I quit. God's not being fair. And some people do that because their eyes are not on the Lord. Now, Peter needed this. But if we were to be honest, don't we sometimes need this type of thing? Just to be reminded, you know, oops. And sure, we do mess up. And there are times that we all fail. None of us are above failing. None of us are above messing things up. But are you going to let that keep you from serving God? You shouldn't. The idea that things may not work out, things that may fall apart for your life, does that make you stop following God? Well, it's not right. This isn't happening. Let God take care of your business. Are you going to follow after him if things do not work out? If things are falling apart? Well, the more that I serve God, the more that things are messing up in my life. Well, you got the choice. Do you follow God or do you quit and say, I want things better? Do you love me? Then follow me. He starts off with, if you love me, forsake the fish. No backup plan. Follow me completely. Be all in. If you love me, feed my sheep. I've got a plan for you. I've got a job for you. Do what I've given you to do. If you love me, he said, follow me. No matter what. No matter what you see around you. No matter what happens to anyone else. It's none of your business what happens to John. Are you going to follow me if I tell you you're going to die and John's not going to die? By the way, just as a little side thing, because of this, even the Bible speaks of that, because Jesus said, if, now that word if, a rumor went around that John's never going to die. Jesus said that John's not going to die. Isn't that like people that they didn't listen to the whole thing? They missed the word if. Jesus said John's never going to die. And there was a rumor even after John died that they said he was still alive in the grave, you know, just because Jesus said if. Now, he also said, what if I told you that Jesus would not, that he would not die until Jesus come? Do you know that John got to participate in the rapture? In Revelation chapter 4, John's sitting there and then all of a sudden he's called away to heaven. Well, Jesus did tell him what it is. And then he died afterwards. He got a glimpse of the rapture, glimpse of what's going to happen, tribulation, glimpse of the millennial kingdom. Then Jesus brought him right back to where he started from. And then he lived the rest of his life and died. But it just happened. But even if John's still alive today, does that make you say, well, I'm not going to follow Jesus because he didn't make me live forever? Right? Jesus is trying to prepare Peter. And he's looking at him eyeball to eyeball. This isn't even a message. The rest of the disciples are there, but he's not talking to the disciples. You think the other disciples are glad that he's talking to Peter, not them? Glad he's yelling at him, not me. Woo! It's bad enough just being in the same room. Awkward. But he's preparing Peter for a special job. That Jesus is going to ascend up to heaven, and Peter is in charge. And he has to make sure that Peter doesn't quit. He has to make sure that Peter's eyes are on the Lord. He's got to make sure that Peter does what God has given him to do, no matter what happens. And things are going to happen. James, the brother of John, is going to be beheaded. Peter is put in jail. So is Peter panicking? Is he freaking out? He's like, God's in control. And he fell asleep so much when the earthquake hit and the chains are open, an angel had to kick him and say, get up, you lazy bum. God's letting you out of here. Because he's resting so much in the Lord. Isn't that a totally different Peter than what you saw before? Yeah. It's because Jesus is trying to take care of him and said, hey, I know you messed up, but let that in the past. You start from where you are and move forward. Just keep going forward. Keep your goal, God. Keep going for him. Follow after him. It doesn't matter what happens to someone else. It doesn't matter the circumstances. There is no plan B. There is no exit strategy. It's follow after Christ or bust. And follow after him. And so the question is, do you love me? If Jesus was to look at you eyeball to eyeball and look at you and say, I love you. Of course, we couldn't say agape, but we'd have to say phileo. I love you because you love me. I do love you. And Jesus says, you want to prove it? Ooh, wouldn't you hate for him to say that? You want to prove it? Then follow after me. Forsake all of this other stuff. No backup plan. You follow me no matter what. And that's your proof that you love me. Lovest thou me was the question. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.